You know, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on the other side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. The paradise of God is not where you go when you're dead. When you're dead, you go into the grave. This is punctuated improperly. He's saying, verily I say to you today that you will be with me in paradise. That is what Jesus said to the thief on the cross. He didn't say, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. No, that's wrong. You know, I think of Deuteronomy chapter 4. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. You shall soon utterly perish from off the land. It's a Hebraism. It's a Hebrew figure of speech. Read Deuteronomy chapter 4. It's used there. It's not saying today you're going to perish off the face of the land. What it's saying is, I'm telling you now today to emphasize the solemnity of the occasion. Today, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise. And of course he means in the resurrection. And that's the way this guy would understand it. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Really, that's all I have to say about that. Because there are so many other scriptures. You know, read 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead are asleep, quote unquote. They're waiting. They're not in paradise. The dead, you know, Jesus himself said it in John 5, the day's coming when all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and come forth, some to the resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of damnation. There's no, and also 1 John, the Gospel of John chapter 3. We're going to do John next, but hey, why not mention it now? Because we're surely going to mention it then, and it never is repeated often enough. He says, in verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. It's a very simple truth, spoken in doctrine. That's another thing. You can't take an offhand comment, you can't take an off-the-cuff remark in the midst of a narrative and overthrow the doctrine spoken in doctrine. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. That means no one has ascended into heaven except the one who came down, which is the Son of Man, which is in heaven now. No one else has ascended. The resurrection is not come yet. Anyone who says the dead are already raised is a heretic and not a Christian. They are corruptors of the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Because that's what he taught. No man hath ascended up into heaven. That's it. Only Jesus. So that thief would not be in paradise with Christ that day. That day, they were going to both go into the grave. And after 3 days, Jesus was going to rise. And at the end of the world, he's going to raise that malefactor from the dead, and he will be with him in paradise. That's all. Verse 44, and it was about the sixth hour. And there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. About 3 p.m. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, maybe that's when he said, Eli, Eli, lama azaftani. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. The spirit returned to God who gave it. That's death. When your spirit and soul are separated, you die. Your spirit is not your conscious being. John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. So it doesn't, you know, when God's spirit enters us, it doesn't make us God. It doesn't make us him personally. It means his spirit has entered into us. Now, the Holy Spirit is different from other spirits, per se, as being, he is a person. God is a spirit. But the spirit of a man is not the person of the man. And when you die, when you give up the ghost, it doesn't mean that you are personally going back to God. It means your spirit goes to God, but you are dead. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. What do you think? It's just speaking to the body. Actually, you don't return to dust. You go to heaven. Your body goes to dust, but you go to heaven. Uh-uh. Dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. That's what you are. You are dust. You are not spirit. You are not God. You are dust. And you will be dust unless God raises you up. It's the arrogance of man. They always think, oh, we're going to float away. You're nothing. You're going to be a rotten corpse in the grave. Bones, rotten flesh, filth, abomination. And unless he raises you up, you're nothing. I always think it's funny when they say, well, you know, we have ancient accounts of darkness. You know, they recorded every meteorological event. Why there's no mention of this darkness? The earth, it can refer to the land. It means locally it was dark. Could have been just low clouds during that time. It needn't be like something that would be like, whoa, it's dark. But I mean, it's just the cloud covers. And also, you got to understand, there also would be an interest early on in suppressing information about anything supernatural with Christ. As the movement began to burgeon after his resurrection, there was definitely a sense that it had to be kept under wraps. The veil in the temple was rent in the midst. The veil was this curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. That separated God from everyone else. And the high priest only was allowed to enter into the holiest of all once a year, and not without blood. But when Christ was crucified, that place was ripped open, signifying that he had made the way to the holiest place clear now through the veil of his flesh. Through his sacrifice, we then, by him, have access directly to God. And we don't need to go through priests anymore. But whoever he shall choose, we can go and we can approach to God, boldly come to the throne. That doesn't mean you go, hey, JC. What it means is not rudely come. It means the way man ought to come before God is inching forward as a worm on his face. But that we could just come and speak to him at all is quite bold. Verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. So this whole thing is quite a spectacle. It's drawn quite a crowd. And they're standing afar off, watching, seeing what happens. The centurion in another place declares, surely this was the Son of God.